Well, good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Thursday, the 23rd of May. Very nice to have you with us on this Thursday morning, 13 minutes past 9 o'clock, and we welcome you to the proceedings. We have a full group today, and a lot of panelists to talk about a lot of stories, and we'll get started in just a moment. We have a couple of housekeeping things. One is to remind you that you can be a part of the conversation by simply writing to us, panel@wamc.org. We'll get to the lockbox and the fun drive in just a moment, but that will certainly be an element of this morning as well. And we need you to be a part of that, so stay tuned. Let me introduce the group to you. They are here in, as I said, in great numbers, so let me introduce everybody. Well, he used to be a Wednesday regular. Now he's a Thursday regular. And it is SUNY New Paltz communications professor, former New York State senator, and now instructor at RPI, correct?
Woo-hoo! Yeah, for the summer I'm going to be teaching at RPI, so I'm excited about that.
Excellent.
Yes.
Which brings you in on Thursdays.
Yeah, so it just makes it more convenient, and I appreciate you accommodating me.
Well, thank you very much. Terry Gibson, good morning. Also hailing from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute is our dear friend, Fran Berman. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Good morning, Joe, and congratulations again for your great honor a week or two ago.
Well, thank you very much. Very, very sweet of you. Fran Berman is here. Oh, look, it's Ira Fussfeld.
Yes, I'm just I have no college credentials. So SUNY New Paltz, 1970.
Weren't you the head of the college council?
It wasn't the head. I was the head of the foundation, but I was on the college council. But that's a lifetime ago, literally. So anyway, nice to be back.
It is wonderful to have you. Daily Freeman publisher emeritus Ira Fussfeld, good morning. Also with us, Siena College professor of comparative politics, Vera Acarius Kelly is here.
Guten Morgen. Wie geht es allen heute? Last week I did French, this week German. Just wait for next week.
Show off. I like it. That's good. What is it? Like, what? What else can you do?
I speak five languages.
So all right.
I can go,
okay.
Then I have to repeat.
Oh, that's right.
I have to study quickly for
this
to add
really
another one.
Ups the class of Roundtable. I just want to point that out.
I like it. That's good. Good morning, and wonderful to have you here as well. Fran, I've been desperately searching for your full title, which I realize I don't have on my sheet. Do you want to tell us what your full title?
Mine is Princess of Wonderfulness at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute.
Excellent.
Now, can you say that in a foreign language?
I cannot, unfortunately. I wanted to ask Joe, in the fun drive, is that spelled F-U-N-D or F-U-N?
Yes. Well, we go back and forth on that. Okay. There are days where it certainly isn't F-U-N. I can tell you that.
So in German, your title is Prinzessin der Herrlichkeit.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I'm putting that on my business card.
I know.
Yes.
I'll help you with the spelling.
Thank you very much.
WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning,
how are you?
Joseph.
All right.
I'm okay. I do want to, if I can, I do want to remind everybody that the seriousness of, you know, keeping us going. It's that simple. It's no more than that. We have now raised an incredible amount of money towards that $500,000. We're entering the so-called whoosh factor as the water goes down in the sink, it gets more and more, you know, vehement. So we're into the whoosh factor right now. For we have some, but not a lot, of the Philadelphia Orchestra, New York City Ballet, wonderful tickets on the lawn, the wonderful lawn at SPAC. They'll be gone today. That'll be the end of them. So if you want them and you want to support your radio station, which is bringing you this incredible group of people every morning, now's the time to do it. 1-800-323-9262. We have our wonderful volunteer people standing by, ready to take your calls, and you could do it at wamc.org. But whatever you do, just do it. Or as Pete would say, keep on keeping on.
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262. And so it is, we're looking to get, here are just some quick numbers. We have a million dollar goal for the fund drive. We need $500,000 in the lockbox before we start to guarantee that we can get you back to programming as soon as possible. We are looking to get to the 300. We need to get to the $300,000 point in the lockbox this morning by the time our session is done in about an hour and 10 minutes.
And, you know, Joe, you make such a good point when you say get us back to programming, which is quite formal. But in fact, each of us watching what this president of the United States is doing right now know how important it is to have every jot and tittle, every single thing that is going on reported back to us. We can't afford to spend more time on a fund drive, but we need the fund drive in order to keep the station going. So what we've been doing is doing it in a single day along with the lockbox. It's just great when we see, and it's so affirmative, when we see everybody doing their thing, putting something in. It is a heartbreaker if we thought we'd have to take more than that single day of a fund drive to do this in. So everybody, just get going and let's make it happen.
Don't you think that the representatives of the three academic institutions here, four including Allen with the University of Albany, should go back to their respective science departments to get an analysis of the whoosh factor?
Yes. Yeah. Right.
I think I'd like to know more about the properties of the whoosh factor.
But you know what it is, Ira. You fill up your sink and you take out the plug. And then what you see is a single, Fran is the brightest among us, and you see a single little...
The princess of wonderfulness and all.
You see a single little thing going down towards the plug. And then as it empties out and empties out, it gets louder and louder, till at the end it goes, whoosh!
Which is different than a flush.
How do you say that in German?
I kind of love that.
A bush.
Yeah,
a W.
Pretty much the same. Well, it's a sound word.
You ought to get a sound effect and use that occasionally during the thumb drive.
You know, whoosh. Yeah. That's right, because as you know, what is the question that leads to 9W?
9W, the question? What?
9W is the what? I'm giving you the answer is 9W. What's the question? The question is...
How do you get to 9W?
No.
We're all confused.
What are you talking about?
Am I on Jeopardy now?
Yeah, Jeopardy. No, I'm like, what's the cue? I need a cultural cue. I'm a foreigner. Please help!
Quick, ask a sports gambler. He'll know.
Composer. A composer. Who is the great composer? Mr. Wagner. Do you spell your name with a V, Mr. Wagner?
What?
9W. All right, forget it.
Wow. Okay. All right.
That. It's obscure, but very uplifting, Alan.
Yes, nothing more uplifting than Bobby.
You ought to give the phone number.
1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. We need $15,723 to get us to the $300,000 point. Don't forget the tickets to the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. The undated lawn tickets for either the Philadelphia Orchestra or the New York City Ballet. Your choice. And you can use them however you wish. The only blackout dates are for the gala for the ballet and the two movie nights for the Philadelphia Orchestra. Otherwise, any night you can go. 1-800-323-9262. And as Alan said, they are quickly disappearing, and when they are gone, they are gone. We are more than three-quarters of the way through the tickets, and when they're out of here, they're gone.
They'll be gone today. Look, folks, all other things aside, you know what this radio station is. You know what it means to you. You know why you're listening. And all I have to say to all of you is we're all in this together. So please, just do the right thing, and let's get it done. And I know you will, and so many people have. And we often forget to say thank you to all the people who have already.
1-800-323-9262. All right. Let's go to the stories for today and begin and find out what is happening in our world, because it's all constantly changing. We have to keep up, don't we? Let us start with this story, if I can, and that is the president met with the Democratic leadership for 180 seconds yesterday. He said, and then he left, he stormed out of the meeting, and then he went and did a press conference in the Rose Garden, which did include props. And in the quote to come out of that was the term or the phrase, I don't do cover-ups. Angered by what he calls phony inquiries, the president blew up at a meeting with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the congressional leaders, declaring that he cannot work with them until they stopped investigating him. He then marched out into the Rose Garden, where reporters had been gathered, and delivered a statement bristling with anger as he demanded the Democrats get these phony investigations over with. He said that they could not legislate and investigate simultaneously. We're going to go down one track at a time. The tempestuous clash between Mr. Trump and Ms. Pelosi suggested that efforts to forge bipartisan legislation on issues already a long shot may effectively be frozen for the foreseeable future while the president and his opponents wage war over the various investigations now underway. The confrontation did come on a day when talk of a possible impeachment drive raised temperatures on both sides of the aisle. House Democrats pressed Ms. Pelosi to open a formal inquiry aimed at removing the president from office for high crimes and misdemeanors, while both sides sought to gain the upper hand in the escalating conflicts over testimony and documents. That from the New York Times. Stir, mix, and enjoy. Who would like to start? Alan?
I just want to say one thing. So it all comes down to this. The president of the United States says that the coordinate branch of government, the Congress, cannot investigate me. If they do investigate me, which is their job, of course, if they do, I will not do the business of the people. I will not have an infrastructure. I will not deal with climate change. I will not do anything that they might want to get together on because they are investigating me. Come on now, folks. We all know what this is.
And, you know—
Go ahead.
So just a quick comment on, Trump and his supporters made it look like as if this sort of, his idea to speak in the Rose Garden was a surprise moment, when in fact the entire blow up was really a planned public performance.
Right.
And so from now on, I'll call President Trump a blowfish, because that's really how he behaves. He plans how to puffer himself up and then, try to sort of convince the general public that he is being persecuted.
We knew it was planned because he had a thing out.
Right,
he had a placard
right.
on the front yep. of it.
No collusion.
Also, the day before he had sent this letter about, well, maybe infrastructure should wait until NAFTA, right?
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I mean, I think he was looking for some drama to sort of add to the mix, but really wasn't planning on looking at the infrastructure issue anyway. I mean, what's the upside for him? You know, he kind of needs to keep his name out there and in a dramatic way. And public good is not anywhere on the list of priorities.
But doing infrastructure, wouldn't you think that would be to his benefit? Because then that would give him something that he could legitimately bring to the electorate, as opposed to the tax cut for the wealthy. If he's looking to attract support among middle America or lower class America, what more could he do? Everybody wants their roads fixed. Everybody wants their bridges fixed. Everybody wants increased broadband. All of those projects, plus putting, 10 million people to work, I think was the estimate. So for him to turn his back on that just seems particularly nonsensical. By the way, is I don't do cover-ups his version of Nixon's I'm not a crook?
Probably.
But what about the price tag? I mean, the price tag seems to be the problem there.
Well,
right?
Schumer will argue, among other things, that he knew that Trump was going to back away because he couldn't figure out a way for pay for this stuff.
Well, that's true. That's true. Exactly what you're saying, Ira. What this shows, once again, is that this president really isn't capable of the long-term planning strategic process that you need to actually implement an infrastructure plan, regardless of the price tag. It's very complicated. And without the ability to put a plan in place and to then lead the way in getting people to side with that plan, he realizes he's unskilled at doing this, and so he makes these excuses. I am more interested in how this connects to Nancy Pelosi's statement about the fact that this president is engaging in a cover-up. I think this is now opening the door to what will certainly become an impeachment proceeding not too far in the distant future.
Yeah, that sounds right. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you, Terry. I think that, And it's a sign of the times. It's not just Trump. I mean, this notion about investing in things long term, whether it's infrastructure, whether it's education, whether it's, you know, appropriate privacy rules for the internet, you know, unless there's some catastrophic scenario in which things, you know, just go apart. You know, there doesn't seem to be that.
But we do have a catastrophic scenario. We know from many, many reports that have been done by many, many engineers across the country that our infrastructure, from our wastewater systems to our drinking water systems to our roads to our bridges, they are nearing a catastrophic state. Just look at the tunnel system in New York City, just as one example. This is an urgent crisis, and the fact that we have a president who is completely negligent and incapable of doing anything on this topic is
no, I agree.
Pathetic.
But when a when that collapses, or when a bridge falls down, or when a road crumbles, that's when we're going to do something. You know, just like when your social security number is, your data is breached and your social security number goes away, that's when you start doing something. And we seem to be in that kind of.
I'm not sure even that kind of catastrophe would solve the problem, because I don't think that we have a system in place right now in terms of the leadership of the country that's able to solve problems. They're just avoiding it. They're just trying to keep things the way they are without addressing any of the actual issues.
I want to go back to the political thing. I know we have to get it. We have a break coming, Joe. But you mentioned Pelosi. Pelosi is under tremendous pressure. We all know that. Her rank and file, my wife, you name it, they are all saying, impeach him. I don't care. Impeach him. But she knows, and she's correct, that it's too early to do that, that you have a Senate that won't do what's right. So she has to do her own version of keeping everybody happy.
Yeah.
And that's why cover-up become. But it's a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, it does lead more people to yell for impeachment. And on the other, she is saying, don't worry, folks, I'm with you.
Let's pause there. We have $14,723 to make before we get to our goal for this morning. We need your help. We have a $100 pledge. We'll get you tickets to the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, undated lawn tickets for the New York City Ballet, as well as the Philadelphia Orchestra. 1-800-323-9262. You can also do this online at wamc.org. But we only have less than an hour to make the $14,700 in, so do what you can, wamc.org.
Come on, folks. We missed it yesterday. Let's do it today.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Terry Gibson, Fran Berman, Ira Fussfeld, and Vera Kurios-Kelly. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. We are marching toward our goal here. We have $14,723 to go. We need your help. 1-800-323-9262. $100 will get you tickets to the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, to the ballet, to the orchestra. But whatever you can do is extremely helpful in getting us to our goal, which will bring us to the $300,000 point. But we only have until 10:30 to do that.
And again, I know what passion you all have for this radio station, and now is the time. You say, you meet me on the street, you say, we'll be there for you, Alan and Joe and the whole crew. This is the time you really got to do something. Just put $5 in or $1,000 in, but do something. It's when people don't vote that you get certain situations which need no further explication.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. Alan, you have some letters in front of you, I believe.
Joe. Thank you. Okay, and the Davis is right. We've been without a constitution for 10 years because the GOP threw it in the trash when President Obama took the oath of office. There is still a dictator in charge of the Senate. The Democrats may be in charge of the House, but anything of value sent to the Senate is dead on arrival. That's Bill from North Bennington. And we heard from Carol, who says, good morning, panel. The commentariat has recently declared that Trump is trying to goad Nancy and Dems into impeaching him. It is interesting to see that Nancy is goading Trump into revealing just how venal, corrupt, petty, and infantile Trump is. Of course, Trump's base won't change, but watching Mayor Pete's gloriously received performance before a Fox town hall was eye-opening. They love Pete and clearly despise Trump. Perhaps there is hope. Thanks for the daily injection of sanity, says Carol. And Joan says, impeachment controversy. To not impeach because the Senate will not impeach is saying we may well as not fight for any of our rights, because in the end, practically all important cases go to the Supreme Court, now stacked against democracy, and all of our civil rights will be squashed for good there. By not impeaching Trump, we are caving into our present dictatorship and relinquishing our constitutional powers. It is not always whether you win or lose, but how you play the game. The evidence is clear. Trump is guilty. If the traitors in the Senate do not impeach Trump, then Americans in the entire world will know we put up a good fight and who the traitors of the American government were that betrayed us. If this was reversed, the GOP would be impeaching. You never really lose if you do what is right. And that's from Joan. I want to just take 1 second to say, I want to win. I want Trump out of there. And I think the way to get Trump out of there is to have an election. And I think if you impeach now, you're basically throwing away that chance, because you'll get an impeachment vote in the House. It will go to the Senate. It'll take too long. You got to fight him. The way is to do that is to just get him out of office and vote him out.
Alan, you know, I take great risk in disagreeing with you, which I rarely
do.
But I've been thinking about this a lot, and I'm coming around to agree with the letter writer. I have to say that I think this idea that somehow by not impeaching we have a better chance of beating Trump, I'm just having a hard time finding evidence to support that argument. I think the idea is that the Democrats have an opportunity to actually go through a process that's more official and more formal that will allow them to fine-tune this message and do a better job at communicating to the American public and the voters why this president deserves to be removed from office. And right now, they can't do that very well because they don't have an official formal process to use to communicate to the American public. So I'm coming around to the idea that this impeachment process does need to unfold. It needs to happen very quickly so that we can get it out of the way as soon as possible.
I want the right of reply, if I may.
Yes, of course.
And that is this. You're a politician. You ran for Senate. We have a whole bunch of people, Democrats now, who are under tremendous pressure from my wife and others to impeach. Because they know that. And so the pressure on Pelosi gets to be even stronger to make this happen. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, I have a point and then a question. I tend to agree right now that impeaching is not the way to go because, to Terry's point, there is a real live example of what happens. And that's Bill Clinton, who got impeached, and then his approval ratings went to 60%. And so do we want to impeach and prop up Trump? He'll figure out a way to make himself the victim. Many people believe Trump wants to be impeached right now. Here's the thing that would make me go the other way, and this is where I'd like an opinion, is from the political scientists of the room, if Trump is not impeached, if the Congress chooses not to impeach him for what appears to be obvious and good reasons to impeach him, do they throw away the precedent for the next Trump, who maybe the next Trump will be even worse? And by not impeaching this guy, will they somehow relinquish the opportunity to impeach the next person?
Over to Vera.
So one of the things I've been thinking about is exactly sort of the at what point do we move over to supporting impeachment, right? And I was sort of like in your position, Ira, in the last few weeks, but I'm with Terry now. The reason for that is this. I believe that the most important issue at this point is to get the records from Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank is one of the slimiest international investment banks you could possibly find.
Eine
ekelerregende Bank. Okay, so this bank is deeply offensive to a lot of people in the world. They have been involved in unprecedented criminal activity, ranging from money laundering to, sort of involvement with Russian operations.
And they've had to pay,
Danske Bank. They have been caught almost every year on some major scandal.
So would a firm like that get caught up with the President of the United States?
Well, that's a surprise, now, isn't it?
Hard to imagine.
But that's exactly what I mean. We need to get access, or Congress needs to get access to the records from Deutsche Bank, because Deutsche Bank has also had whistleblowers, and they have come out and said, you know, there's something fishy going on. We all have a sense that something fishy is going on. But I think that's why it's very important for those records to be released to Congress, to be studied, and to be made public, because making such information public will convince the public that there is a cover-up potentially, and that impeachment hearings should be started.
But why does it have to be impeachment? I mean, look, I have no doubt that sooner or later Nancy Pelosi is going over to the impeachment side.
Right.
I also am fascinated by Deutsche Bank because, as you remember, they're the only ones who would deal with Trump because he had defaulted on so many
because
loans.
Everybody else is, you know, afraid of the slime factor.
Well, no, it's because he didn't keep his word as a businessman
when
he was dealing with them.
No, the bank is into money laundering on a massive global scale. And, you know, the Russians, the Russians' preferred bank in Europe has been Danske Bank and Deutsche Bank, and they also collaborate, and they're under investigation for that issue. I mean, it's unbelievable the level of corruption
in
this bank.
So here's the question. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but so here's the question. Mm-hmm. So if we go through impeachment, we see in much more detail a lot of this misbehavior, not surprising to some, not relevant to others, right? So, you know, how many people's minds, what will it change? We'll see that. And at the end of impeachment, that does not mean he's out of office. So what is the, and this is sort of a question for Terry too, you know, what's the kind of communications value of going through that? How does it change the landscape for what Alan says is the goal, which is true, at the next election to sort of change administrations? So, you know, I'm interested in that big picture.
Well, the impeachment process will provide a template of a professional, easy to follow format for the Democrats to dictate very clearly to the American voters exactly what has happened and why they're doing this and the evidence that they're bringing forward to support it. Right now, what we have is investigation after investigation of investigation. It's extremely confusing. It's hard to follow for anyone, and it's very easy for the media to manipulate and use whatever selective talking points they want. I think the impeachment process will really clarify this. And at the end of the day, the voters will have the facts in a very easy-to-follow format, and they will be able to decide what they want to do. And I think it's the Democrats' responsibility to provide those facts.
Mm-hmm. Will that be meaningful for people who think Trump's doing a good job?
I hope that it will, but at the end of the day, you provide the facts and the voters have to decide. And to Ira's point, I just don't know anymore how much an impeachment procedure that happened back in the 90s for something that was completely different than what we're dealing with now for Bill Clinton, I just don't know how relevant it really is. I understand it's the one thing we have to look at to see, but to not do this because of how that turned out, to me, is seeming more and more not a solid reason.
I just want to take one little moment to interrupt this fascinating discussion. We can't have discussions like this if we don't have a radio station. And I just want to make sure, I just want to make sure everybody understands what's at stake here on this most immediate level. We have about $14,000 to go. We can easily do that if everybody just gets up and does a little something. And please, everybody, just feel the passion, feel the way in which this radio station meets a need which nobody else does. I need your help now. We all need your help. Get on the phone, 1-800-323-9262, and let's see that $14,000 like the Wicked Witch melt away.
1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. We'll be right back. All right, we need 136 people at $100 each if we're going to do this. $13,623 to go in our goal.
I feel it coming. I feel it coming. It's going to happen.
Whoosh.
Let's go, everybody.
We can do it. Get tickets to the ballet.
1-800-323-9262, said the dancer. 1-800-323-9262. One of the things we're talking about, of course, is the SPAC tickets, undated lawn tickets for the New York City Ballet or the Philadelphia Orchestra. Your choice. You get a pair of undated lawn tickets, 1-800-323-9262 for a pledge of $100. You can also go online, wamc.org. But as Alan indicated, whatever you can do, $5, $20, $30, $5,000.
Yeah.
$13,623, whatever you can do.
I know we're going to do this. I know we have to. 1979, I got here, and you were all there, the first drive we ever had, and here we are all these years later, and we have the will. We can keep it going. James said, impeach already. Dear panel and Alan, the idea that we cannot impeach the president is specious, capital S. No previous impeachment led to a conviction in the Senate. It is only the Congress's right. It is its duty. If we cannot impeach the president, then all is lost. And then we heard from Richard, who said, scandal is politics by other means. Dr. Alan and panel, you must know that the president is innocent. The Mueller investigation showed no collusion, and what your party has done and continues to do to this duly elected president is completely outrageous and diabolical. If the Democratic Party continues attempting to destroy the president as an administration by false claims of obstruction, endless subpoenas, and demands to the confidential tax information, you will destroy the foundations of our legal system and protect protections for the innocent. Was it Stalin who said, show me the man and I'll show you his crime? What the Democrats are doing will make any of us vulnerable to guilt by accusation. We plebs know what's going on, and the Democratic Party is going to pay at the polls for this unjust treatment and blatantly obvious plot to frame this president. Scandal is politics by other means. You know as well as I that your party is engaged in the most outrageous political witch hunt in the history of our nation. You will be judged by history. You've abandoned truth. Thank you, RBL.
Who is it from?
You know,
RBL.
RBL. You know, I think RBL went way over the limit. I don't know how that got through our censors.
Okay,
but
I'll tell you why I read the whole thing. Yeah. I don't usually read anything that's that long. Because I didn't want to be accused of not letting somebody through who had a different view.
I recommend that this person read all the Nixon impeachment-related hearings to actually come around to see how voters respond when information becomes public.
And not only that.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying here that the Democratic Party is going to pay at the polls. On the contrary, the Democratic Party just won the House of Representatives.
That's right.
With even less facts than we now
have.
Well,
I applaud this. This person is listening to this station and this program, which
probably paying up.
I'm sorry?
And probably paying up.
But it says to me that he or she is at least willing to listen to another point of view. But I'm curious as to what. Where he or she is getting his primary information, because it has to be Fox. If it's not, I apologize to the guy. But there's so many examples of the problems that the corruption in the Trump administration hiding in plain sight. And so for the reader, the listener to make the comments that he did there, I just have to wonder on where is he getting his information?
I love that we got this letter, and I don't think we should assume it's a he.
No,
There's all kinds of people shorthanding at
some point.
I think it's also just important to point out that regardless of how you feel about the impeachment process, it was the president yesterday that did turn his back on the American people and turn his back on his job, on his responsibility, and say, I'm no longer going to do what I was elected to do. And that in itself is incredibly destructive to the entire fabric of the country.
I'm not sure RBL would take that point of view. I think RBL would say that the president's pushing back on the Democrats who are out to get him for no good reason.
Well, I actually came prepared, which is a shock to Somebody pointed out last night on Twitter, even during the Watergate hearings, the 93rd Congress passed and Nixon signed the Federal Aid Highway Act, the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, the Endangered Species Act, and the Budget Act of 1974, and the War Powers Resolution over Nixon's veto.
Yep.
You can govern and be investigated at the same time.
Yes, that's a very good point.
We're all supposed to be there for the public good.
And by the way, this is one of those rare instances where Trump has been consistent. If you recall the famous press conference in the East Room, the one that got Jim Acosta of CNN in trouble, there was a question asked essentially, can you work with the Democrats? And he said at that press conference, no, if they're going to investigate me, we can't get anything done. So it's hard to believe he'd be that consistent after these many months, but he said it a long time ago.
$12,203 to go. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC.
And they're all going to the ballet, Joe. Just
let's get it down to let's get it down to 9,000 before the break. Come on, everybody. Let's wish it. Let's wish it so.
Wish it so.
That's a song. Wish it.
Wish for the wish.
How many H's?
There's a W H or W O. And William says, dishonest narrative. Pelosi's public accusation that the president is covering up an investigation minutes before she met with the president is the reason why he canceled the meeting. No, that's not true.
No.
And we know it because he had a sign out on his podium which said where he was going with this. If you're serious about getting laws passed, you don't insult the person you're negotiating with. Joe's complete omission of this part of the story is a form of fake news that deprives WAMC listeners of the full actual content of what happened yesterday. Alan, the panel could really benefit from by having someone who challenges this constant narrative of 45. Hey, William, we just read your letter.
Well, how do you not call something a cover-up when the answer is no, I will not show you this. I will not let my staff testify. I will not let anyone speak about anything. I mean, every single thing
and,
this president is doing is
and
covering
to,
up.
And to assign your former lawyer to make secret payments to, you know, keep relationships with women private. I mean, how is this when this is all disclosed? How is this not a cover-up?
How do you have a person that is on your payroll that is referred to as your fixer and not be considered a part of some sort of cover-up?
But two pieces of data for William.
Yes.
First of all, Trump was already thinking about this, one assumes, because he sent a letter the day before to the Democrats saying that they shouldn't deal with infrastructure until after NAFTA. So he was already thinking about that.
Sure.
Number two, it's like, let's just not say that name-calling of Trump is something that Trump is not returning every day all the time. I mean, it's appalling how much name-calling goes on in politics.
But isn't
and,
that the,
and he does that too. So,
that like any
you know,
other bully?
Get a tough skin, dude.
The bully dishes it out.
Neil writes, impeachment. Reasons to impeach. 1, moral duty. 2, focus attention on corruption. 3, force Republican senators to defend the indefensible. Reasons not to impeach. 1, Senate won't convict. 2, distraction. 3, energized Republican base. And that's Neil from Wendell.
I mean, this is where we're at, right? We're weighing the two sides, and I think, you know, Terry and I came over to the other side now. I think there's movement here. I honestly believe with the court's decisions over the last couple of days, we might actually see some information flow towards Congress, and then once they find something that is impeachable, then we might move that direction. Otherwise, it might just continue as committee investigations until such a point that more evidence is available.
Yeah. Joe, any tickets left?
Yes. And also, we are right now have $11,803 to go, which is...
We're moving.
We still need to move a little bit more. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. And yes, you have the tickets to the New York City Ballet and the Philadelphia Orchestra at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, a pair of undated lawn tickets for a pledge of $100. That's what we're talking about, although anything that you can do to help the lockbox and to get us to the $300,000 point is hugely beneficial at this point.
Who would not want a pair of Allen socks for the same $100?
Are those the yellow socks?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen those socks. Quite a pair. You'll stick out. Here's the good thing about those WAMC socks beyond helping the station. If you're crossing the street at night and you're wearing short pants, you'll be seen because the yellow socks will just...
There is no... Well, yeah.
Have you experienced that, Ira?
Safety socks.
Yes, I think that's a new way to market them.
Right.
$11,458. We need you. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262. You can also do it online, WAMC.org. WAMC.org is a way to do it as well. We are going to go to a break in just a moment. Before we do that, we will quickly also talk about, I do want to mention, because Vera brought up Deutsche Bank, that for 3 years, Donald Trump has treated the details of his personal and business finances as a closely guarded secret. On Wednesday, those secrets moved two steps closer to becoming public. First, there was the federal judge in Manhattan who ruled against a request from the president to block his longtime lender, Deutsche Bank, from complying with congressional subpoenas seeking his detailed financial records. In Albany, the city in which we sit, lawmakers approved a bill that would allow Congress to obtain Mr. Trump's state tax returns. As you say, little by little, what's coming out, and then what?
And then I think we will, basically what we're trying to find out, I think, with accessing such records is if the president has overly chummy relations with certain players in foreign countries or even with, you know, governments that are hostile to the United States. So if you have an intersection between hostile countries and the Trump family personal investments that are involved in corruptive practices, then we have a serious national security issue at hand. And I think that is underlying the larger question of what will it tell us about the kinds of business dealings the Trump family has been involved in.
My only concern is that, you know, he's going to appeal these rulings, and it's very clear that this president and his administration are going to do whatever they have to do to continue to cover up and not disclose any information about anything. And so, again, the impeachment process might expedite this process.
I have to say, just for a second, a group of Serbian great folks came in here yesterday, and we talked about what it is that makes America great. And what they said was, we have a free press, and they don't. And their press is controlled. And if we want that free press to continue, you know what you have to do, folks. I'm begging you not to give the money, but to understand why this is so important to everybody. Just do everything you can.
We have $11,273 to make by the end of our time together in a half hour. We're going to take a break, go over to news. So it's your chance. Please do what you can. 1-800-323-9262. Also, WAMC.org. WAMC.org. 1-800-323-9262. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Terry Gibson, Fran Berman, Ira Fussfeld, and Vera Karius-Kelly. They make up the panel. You make up our audience. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. As far as the fund drive goes and our lockbox quest, we are $10,873 away from making our goal
this
in the
is
next
the move.
20 minutes.
This is the move. Now's the moment.
1-800-323-9262. This is the moment. Do not screw up the
Carpe
moment.
Carpe diem.
Seize the day. 1-800-323-9. Seize the moment. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262. I have so many weird tabs open up on my computer. One is just...
I wonder who opened up all those weird tabs.
No, I did. I did, but I just, you know, I have more information on Stan Lundin than I ever thought I would have on my computer at any given time. Okay, so Iran has made a dramatic shift in how it confronts the United States, abandoning a policy of restraint in recent weeks for a series of offensive actions aimed at pushing the White House to rethink its efforts at isolating Tehran, says diplomats and analysts. With the Trump administration tightening economic sanctions and intensifying military pressure, Iran is now seeking to highlight the cost it would also impose on the United States, for instance, by disrupting the world's oil supply without taking actions likely to trigger an all-out war. That from the Washington Post. Vera. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the situation with Iran is extremely interesting right now because let's just back out for a moment. Iran is an extremely repressive country. So is Saudi Arabia. Both execute people publicly, have torture centers, and are horrific countries when it comes to human rights and women's rights and minority rights. Now, we happen to be friends with Saudi Arabia, but we're enemies with Iran. So logically, this doesn't make a lot of sense. The oil question is essential here. Iran used to be able to at least sell oil through the European Union, and it had a plan towards slow integration back into the global economy before the Trump administration withdrew its support from the nuclear agreement. What is interesting now is that the Trump administration has not renewed the special permits it gave to a variety of countries to purchase oil from Iran and extended the sanctions against Iran. Iran's quality of oil is significantly higher than what Saudi Arabia, for example, sells. Iranian oil is light crude and sweet crude. It is highly desirable by countries because it doesn't have to be refined to the same extent. So let's just look at this. China needs oil. China would like to buy from Iran. China is a very important customer. Now, if that the Trump administration is trying to disrupt that connection, of course, with all the sanctions against China as well. So we're engaging in a much more direct confrontation. In addition to that, internally in Iran, we have a battle between the so-called, and I say so-called moderates in Iran because they clearly are Islamists, right? And sure. Not in favor of lifting all kinds sure. of restrictions to human rights, etc. And then the Revolutionary Guards. The Trump administration declared a couple of weeks ago that the Revolutionary Guards, which operate in essence like a shadow government in Iran, they make a lot of decisions. And they're extremely hostile to any kind of international pressure, especially Western pressure, especially pressure from the United States. Now, they have been declared a terrorist organization. And there used to be a lot of protest inside of Iran against the kind of activities the Revolutionary Guards was involved in, because instead of spending money on development projects and employment options inside the country, the Revolutionary Guards would use that money, siphon it off, and engage in international acts of aggression through Hezbollah, through other organizations, right? So now we're at this point where the Trump administration is trying to figure out how to disrupt economic gains in Iran. And the Iranian Revolutionary Guards are beginning to gain more influence inside of Iran because there's so much pressure. And so they have lashed out. The Revolutionary Guards are now behind some of the attacks on the oil tankers and so on. So what we see now is not necessarily a very helpful direction, because the Revolutionary Guards are attempting to challenge the United States through other means, and to possibly entangle the U.S. in a very direct conflict. Before the Trump administration engaged in these new sanctions, Iran was trying to wait out the Trump administration. That strategy has shifted to aggression.
So Vera, another question. In addition to this brilliant exposition you have just given, really, I mean that, and we are so lucky to have you, comes the question of the politics of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He appoints a bunch of people who are reflective of his need to go after the Iranians for political, personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go just a little too far, according to him. But he's appointed them. He's the ventriloquist. They're the dummies. They're sitting there. And now he says, oh, my people have gone too far. I have to pull them back. So in addition to everything you've just said, and you are so right about all of it, there is this other political aspect to it. Is we didn't need this in the first place. We were in an agreement if things were going along, and now he's gone and brought us, frankly, to the brink of war.
And I want to thank Vera, too, for that great explanation. It was really helpful. And my fear, I'm certain that the President of the United States has no idea about anything you just said. Has no idea whatsoever about anything you just said, and wouldn't understand it even if you explained it to him.
For that, we agree.
And I think just knowing that is a horrifying fact.
Well, if you're, I'm going to pile on because I think that was wonderful too. I have a question though. The Chinese economically could take some of the pressure off by being, you know, a bigger customer of Iran. But how do we, you know, what kind? How do we fit in there, right? Isn't that a direct relationship between them? And we're now sort of pushing on China in the same. So it's not like they would do that out of greater friendship, right?
No. So one of the one
so
of
help
those
me
really
with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
one apologize. Of those
just for a second, ahead. But just we have $8,900
oh,
to go
oh,
in 16 minutes. $8,900 in 16 minutes.
Because Vera explained
well,
it.
Well,
in
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
They wouldn't have gotten it anywhere.
Okay.
Else.
You're helping with the whoosh. Okay,
I may be
so,
princess of wonderfulness, okay. But Vera is queen of wonderfulness.
Oh no, I don't know about that.
So $8,900 in 16 minutes. Go ahead.
So one of the things through which the United States can really mess with international economic flows is to put sanctions on any kind of financial transactions. So if the Chinese also hold, you know, money in banks in the United States and uh-huh. they when they transfer money, so their payments or disruptions to such transfers or the inability to get permission to transfer money out or make payments internationally. That's how the United States tried to actually stop the Europeans from dealing with Iran. So private companies, for example, can be punished by the United States through financial disruptions if they deal with Iran.
Okay.
So that makes it really difficult. So you have to weigh as a private company or as an international company, you have to weigh whether your dealings with Iran are worth it because you will be punished, have to make payments, or might lose other customers. And so the Chinese government and Chinese companies need to figure out, is it worth circumventing the United States to get access to Iranian oil, or is this part of the whole sanctions and economic barrier tariff battle we're engaged in with the United States,
which brings
at the moment.
Us to
thank you.
Piggybacking on the on the Fran question, comes this other thing: we are engaged with China, threatening them on a number of levels also. And every day, Trump is coming out with yet another sanction on the Chinese, which of course means that. They have less incentive, if I'm following you correctly, they have less incentive to worry about whether or not, you know, we're encouraging their wrath. Am I wrong about
that?
Yeah,
so if the Chinese are already upset, which I'm counting on that they're already upset about the level of barriers they're encountering right now, and they don't really understand the negotiation process, I believe, because Trump makes sudden decisions and may not be in a... You know, he's sort of a transactional guy. He flies in. He wants a deal. Like right now, he's in Japan, right? He has announced he's flying in. This weekend, he's going to talk to the Japanese. And he wants, for example, the Japanese to invest more in the U.S. economy and make more of their cars in the U.S. The Japanese already have said, well, we invested $51 billion in the United States. I don't think we're going there. So, you know, he thinks he can fly in, pressure them, and come out with a big deal. Some kind of arrangement, right? That's not going to happen. This Japan thing is going to be a mess too. So so the Chinese are basically saying, why should we deal with this
because
guy?
Because we're dealing with a bully. That's right. What they're thinking. We are dealing with a bully, and we have watched him bully everybody else, and we know we don't need it for ourselves. So I would think they may give him something.
But what is it about this particular bully that time and time again can meet with leaders of other countries, can fly in and say, I'm going to solve the problem, and continually not deliver anything, deliver nothing except chaos? How is it that he can still have such a huge base of support?
So this is where Vera's explanation, I think, is really useful, because I always have the same question. It's like, why doesn't somebody just say the emperor has no clothes? Why don't they say that in Congress? Why don't they say that in the agencies? Why don't they say that all over the world? But it sounds like the connections, the interdependencies are so nuanced and so complex that, you know, that statement isn't going to have the power it should just all on its own. Without just a whole framework and fabric of support connections. Isn't that right, Vera?
I mean, you really have to be an expert on so many different things and study it all the time, right? If you try and boil it down to the to a simple message to everybody, you know, the Chinese are destroying our economy, we need to push back. Everybody gets that. But all the interconnectedness and how that might actually have a negative repercussion for our economy, that's not really well understood, at least to the same extent everywhere in the United States.
And then there's the short-term games versus the long-term games. So you give away your power for a short-term game, but then you lose on the long-term game.
In essence, what we're doing right now in the United States is alienating nearly every international ally we have ever had. How are we going to rebuild these levels of trust that we have had for decades?
With a new president.
Well,
that's
what you would have to do. But think about that. Think about the fact that a lot of countries are saying, okay, even if the United States is considered having gone off the rails for a little while, it'll still take time to rebuild all these relationships because you have disrupted the linkages economically, culturally, the entire trade system. Not that you don't have to make modifications, right?
But it's problematic also because, as you pointed out so brilliantly, the Iranians aren't, the Iranian government are not great people. The Chinese government are not great people.
No.
So we have to deal with our bully, but at the same time, remember who they are.
Right. I mean, there's so many movements towards the right in a lot of places and around the world. And my own feeling is there's so much disenfranchisement. People want to see action, but they don't really know what to do to get action.
And can I just point out, Venezuela right now, the Trump administration tried to get Guaido in a position of power. It's a complete failure. It was sort of this attempted, push to get, in essence, 50% of the Venezuelan population didn't even know who Guaido was before he was pushed by the United States, in essence, to get in a position of power. It's a complete failure. They're in negotiations right now to figure out what the next path is. I mean, there's a failure after failure after failure in all areas, diplomatic, national security, economic, and domestic, by the Trump administration. Where is this going?
1-800-323-9262 is where we are going in the sense of our fund drive and our walk box. We are $7,000 away, actually $6,900 away now. We have 9 minutes to do it in. 1-800-323-9262. A $100 pledge will get you a pair of tickets to the Saratoga Performing Arts Center and to the ballet or the orchestra. 1-800-323-WAMC, WAMC.org, and we only have 9 minutes to do a lot of work. So
those tickets are flying out the window.
They are literally out the window. Yes, yes, we need wings. It's $6,800 right now. $6,800. So
that's
real quick, we were talking about China, and one of the things that while we're talking about China, we'll talk about the humanitarian issues in China. Mm-hmm. And there is an interesting point to be made, and I will ask Fran about this, of how China is using high-tech surveillance to ultimately, as an article in the New York Times points out, to subdue minorities. So how are they doing this? And I guess ultimately, how long has this been going on?
Well, and it's not just minorities. Right now, they're picking on minorities as kind of a proof of concept, really. So
that they can do it.
Well, for those of you that have heard anything about the upcoming China social credit system, so this is sort of everybody's nightmare scenario for Big Brother. China has had a very, very successful public and private relationship to put surveillance everywhere and to gather a lot of data on every citizen, on citizens, businesses, etc. And in 2020, to create a more sincere society, and this is what you read from the Chinese government, they will give everybody a social credit score. And that score will have a lot to do with what you get to do. Can you take a plane flight? Can you get a hotel reservation? Mm. Can your kids get into college? That will depend on your social credit score.
So what's the answer?
So think about, well, let me just tell you a little bit about what the problem is. You know, think about your financial score in the U.S. being applied to everything.
Sure.
Everything you get to do. And creating actually a caste system, a system where there are haves and have-nots based on your compliance with what the government wants you to think. Back to Joe's thing and then to your thing, Alan. Back to Joe's thing, they're now applying that to minorities to really restrict their movements, their abilities, to put them in camps, to do all these kinds of things. In some sense, as a proof of concept for this big social experiment that will happen next year. Back to Alan, I'll tell you what the answer is. I think the answer in our country, because this is a slippery slope and we're going more in that direction as well, is legislation that protects our privacy, that protects our rights, our digital rights, and that protects us in support of the public good from companies like all of the companies we love, you know, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, et cetera, picking our data pocket without us having any control about where that information goes and how it's used to limit our choices.
So brilliant, Fran. Could you put a face on it for us? In other words, you've given us the broad outline. Now, specifically, what do you want us to do?
Okay, well, what I would like Congress to do, because I think they're the folks who need to make the laws. So you see a bunch of things coming through Congress now, but they're sort of ignored, and they're not always well substantiated. But Warner and Klobuchar and a few other folks in Congress are really trying to create a tech bill of rights. What are your bill of rights in an environment where there could be complete surveillance that really changes the way you get to live your life? And without those laws to protect you, think about an OSHA for the internet, right? What does OSHA do? It's occupational health and safety. It means that if you work with asbestos, you have to wear glasses and you have to wear a mask. It means that if you work in dangerous, toxic circumstances, that your company has to do something to protect you. Well, what's going to protect you when people are sort of taking your data all the time with surveillance, with facial recognition, and then using it against you? So maybe your premiums are higher because your grocery store, you know, told your insurance company that you buy a lot of wine, or you're at risk for diabetes because you buy a lot of cookies. You know, maybe you don't get to do things because sort of this, you know, giant version of your credit score is applied against you. That's what's happening in China now. And the U.S. isn't far from that.
So, Fran, I think this is so interesting because last week, if I remember correctly, San Francisco...
Right.
The city of San Francisco decided against, as the first city, against using facial recognition technology,
right?
Right. And a lot of people, I found it so interesting, made the argument, but I mean, that's anti-police. We need to help law enforcement track criminals. So,
Vera, could I interrupt for a minute? Joe's an announcement from Joe.
$4,247 to go. We have 5 minutes.
Yay.
Okay. Very close. We're doing great with the fundraiser, but we're not doing so great with controlling our
everything
privacy.
Else is screwed, but
everything else is screwed.
So let me play the devil's advocate. Yeah. The cameras that are ubiquitous, and there'll probably be more, there is a legitimate police reason for them, anti-terrorism reason. At least the government would say that. Is there a line? Do you not agree that there needs to be a proliferation of that kind of security?
Yeah, I disagree with that, and let's see what Fran thinks of that. But
$1,521 to go.
Yay! Whoa. Oh my God, 15 of you, $100.
I think it's really problematic if I walk around and I want to go shopping, and everywhere I go, not only on public streets, am I photographed and tracked, but then I enter private buildings, whatever activity I'm engaged in is tracked, and I'm not a criminal, and why am I being tracked.
So you go into Crossgates Mall and there's a camera inside.
There's lots of cameras in Crossgates.
Right. And there is a crime is committed. So the cameras serve a purpose there.
There's a difference between the collection of data and how the data is used and who can use it, right? So you can have the cameras up there, But maybe you don't get to use it unless you're the police and unless there's a warrant.
Okay.
Maybe you just don't offer it up to everyone, because right now there are no rules.
There's no
sign that says you have to be this high to ride the Internet of Things, right? There, you know, and there needs to be a sign that basically says when you can and cannot use this information. This information is going to be out there, but this information just shouldn't be up for grabs use against you.
If we don't trust the people who have the information, I mean, that makes sense, right? We shouldn't necessarily. We shouldn't trust.
There should be some reason that somebody gets your information, uses your information. Mm-hmm. You should, in reasonable circumstances, know about it. And you should be able to have some control about it, especially in business dealings. And if you think about law enforcement, you know, there should be warrants involved or other kinds of...
We have $1,000 to go and a minute to go.
So imagine this. I go shopping, right? My car is tracked on the road. There are trackers on the road. They have the information of where I drive, when I drive. Then they have internet-based billing information on me, where I go, and they have photographs in the mall. And anybody can get that information and figure out where I am, what I do, why I do it, how much money I have, how much money I spend. It's scary.
Is true. This is, by the way, already happening in China. It is increasingly happening in here, and it's only not happening, not because of the technology, but because we're not necessarily connecting the dots. Imagine you have a self-driving car. Any conversation you have in that car is now a public conversation. It's not a private conversation.
Absolutely right.
All right, we are out of time. My thanks to everybody, Alan and Terry and Fran and Ira and Vera. We made our goal. Congratulations.
Yay!
Thank you very much.
Have fun at the ballet.
That's good stuff. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. Still $200,000 to go to the halfway point in the drive, so we need to get you there. 1-800-323-9262. And you can also do it online at WAMC.org.
Thank you, everyone.
WAMC.org. Thanks to Terry, Fran, Ira, Alan, and Vera. We'll be right back after this short break.